بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, this is our 10th session, reading from lessons in Arabic language, Medina Book 2. Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim, Islamic University, Medina Arabic Language Institute, and this is our 10th lesson and 10th session of our preview of Medina Book 2. Inshallah, we have after today we have maybe 5 more sessions that we'll be doing a preview, and then we'll be going back to the beginning of the book and doing a complete presentation of Medina Book 2 from the beginning. Yani the Arabic grammar points, vocabulary, Arabic text at the beginning of each lesson, and all of the exercises. So today, inshallah, we're going to be looking at lesson number 10, yani a preview of lesson number 10, which basically entails, as we've seen in the past, a reading and discussion of the grammatical points in lesson number 10, and then looking at the vocabulary, which hopefully we should be trying to memorize, yani at least one or two words every day during this preview, and then we're going to read and translate and analyze the Arabic text at the beginning of lesson 10. So today, for homework, we suggested that we review the first 6 lessons that we covered in previous sessions, and perhaps in the next week we'll probably review as well the next few lessons up until lesson 10. The reason for this is so that whatever we have looked at previously, if it was 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago or 6 weeks ago, that we don't forget it completely. Okay, so the point of going back and looking at the lessons that we already previewed, the point is to help us to become reacquainted with, and so that we don't forget the lessons that we covered already. Okay, so today, inshallah, we're going to be taking a quick look at the most important points that we covered in the first 6 sessions, in the first 6 lessons, and then we're going to go to the preview of lesson number 10. Okay, so in the first lesson, there were 6 grammatical points that we covered. We want to look at the first few of them. The first point, the most important point, is inna. Inna wa akhawatuha. In lesson number 1, we previewed the particle inna and its sisters, inna wa akhawatuha. So in lesson 1 we saw inna, and from the sisters of inna we saw la'alla, and in lessons that followed we also saw lakinna and ka'anna in lesson 3, lakinna and ka'anna. So what is the point of inna wa akhawatuha? So whatever relates to inna, it also relates to the akhawat of inna. Yani inna wa anna wa ka'anna wa la'alla wa layta wa lakinna. These are all particles that are used in a nominal sentence, a jumla ismiya. Remember we said that in Arabic the sentences of 2 types, the jumla ismiya, the nominal sentence, and the jumla fi'liya, the verbal sentence. So inna, the particle inna wa akhawatuha, are used with a nominal sentence, a jumla ismiya, that's composed of mubtada and khabar. When you introduce inna to the nominal sentence, it changes the names of the mubtada and khabar, the subject and predicate, become now ismu inna and khabaru inna. And the ism inna, instead of being marfu'un like the mubtada, the ism inna is mansub. So that's the main thing. When inna is introduced to a nominal sentence, we call the mubtada ismu inna and it becomes mansub, yani in the accusative case. The khabar of inna remains marfu'un. The meaning of inna is yani to signify emphasis. It means surely, verily, certainly, no doubt, like this, okay? We also said concerning inna that if the mubtada is a pronoun, a dhamir, then when we introduce inna we have to change that pronoun from the marfu'un form to the mansub form. Okay, so remember that anta becomes ka, and anti becomes ki, and huwa becomes hu, and so on. So you don't say inna huwa, you say innahu. Instead of hiya, you say innaha, and so on like this. Okay, so the same thing that we said about inna, the same thing that we say about its sisters. From them is la'alla, la'alla, which means it signifies hope or fear. We also had in that lesson dhu, which means sahib, or having or possessing something. And we said that dhu is from the al-asma al-khamsa, the five special nouns in Arabic. Whenever they are in idalfa, they have to be in an idalfa construction. Whenever they are in idalfa, then they have a special i'rab. And that i'rab is that when they are marfoon, the sign of them being marfoon instead of dhamma is waw. When they are majroor, instead of the sign of it being majroor being kasra, it's ya. And when they are mansub, instead of fatah, the sign of them being mansub is alif. Okay, so the asma al-khamsa, we will see later on that they also include ab and akh, and so on. After this, we also had in this lesson the interrogative word m, which means or. And this is used in a special manner, unlike au, which also means or. M is used with the particle hamza, hamzatul istifham, or hamzatul ta'yin. So, when you're asking about two things in a question, you're saying, are you a doctor or an engineer? So the first choice comes after hamza, and the second choice comes after M. So you say, a-tabibun anta, am-muhandis. You don't say, a-anta-tabibun, but rather, the first choice has to come immediately after hamza, and the second choice immediately after am, like this. Are you a doctor or an engineer? A-tabibun anta, am-muhandis. And we also had in this lesson yani a couple other points, secondary points. This is the most important thing that we had in lesson one, yani inna wa akhawatuha. After that, in the second lesson, the most important thing we had in the second lesson, yani this lesson was a relatively short lesson. It contains four grammatical points. The only one that we want to look at here is the first one, laysa. Okay, we said laysa is a verb. It's from akhawatu kana. They also use with a nominal sentence, jumla ismiya, mubtada, and khabar. And when you use laysa or kana or any of its akhawat with a nominal sentence, the mubtada becomes ismu laysa, and the khabar becomes khabaru laysa. And the ruling concerning the ism laysa and khabaru laysa is the opposite of ismu inna and khabaru inna. So, with inna, we said the ism of inna, which was the mubtada, becomes mansub, and it's the opposite with laysa. The khabar of laysa becomes mansub. Unless the khabar is attached to a preposition, the preposition be, then of course, because of that preposition, it will be majroor. So, the example they gave us is al-baytu jadidun. The original structure of the sentence, al-baytu jadidu, when you introduce laysa, which means not, negation, it would be laysa al-baytu jadidan. Yani the khabar of laysa is mansub. But if you add ba to the khabar, then it would be laysa al-baytu bi jadidin. The house is not new. And there are some details to use, yani that should be mentioned with laysa. The point is that if we're going back and reviewing these lessons, inshallah, then we'll remember that laysa means negation. It's used with a jumla ismiya. And the ism of laysa remains marfu'un, yani the mubtada now became ism laysa, remains marfu'un, the khabar becomes mansub unless it is attached to the preposition be. In that case, it will be majroor. In lesson 3, we had af'al at-tafdil. Okay, this lesson contained 8 grammatical points, but we're not going to go over all of those points. 2 of those points were from the akhawatu inna, lakinna, which means but, and ka'anna, which means it looks as if. Okay, so those were 2 of those points, 2 of those 8 points. But the main point of this lesson is af'alu at-tafdil, yani the comparative and the superlative degree of the adjective. Okay, so when we have an adjective like kabir or saghir, and we want to use the comparative or the superlative form, degree of the adjective, then we're going to put that adjective kabir on the pattern of af'alu. That's why it's called af'alu at-tafdil, because it's on the pattern of af'alu. So the fa represents the first root letter of kabir, which is kaf, and the ayn represents the second root letter, which is ba, and the lam represents the last root letter, which is ra. So you have kaf, ba, ra on the pattern of af'alu. So you add a hamza with fatah in the beginning, sukoon on the kaf, fatah on the ba, and dhamma on the ra. So it became kabir, akbaru, saghir, asgharu, tawil, atwalu, qadim, aqdamu, and so on like this. Ism, af'alu, at-tafdil. It represents the comparative degree or the superlative degree of the adjective. So if you want to compare two things and say this one is bigger than that, you say akbaru min, bigger than. If you want to show the superlative degree that this is the biggest, then you don't use min. You just say akbar talibin, the biggest student, or yani aqdamu jami'atin, the oldest university, and so on. So when you're using the comparative meaning, you use min, af'alu min. If you're using the superlative, you don't use min, you just attach a noun to the af'alu pattern, and it will be mudaf ilayhi majrur. Okay, so that's what we covered in lesson 3, af'alu at-tafdil. We also covered, as I said, lakinna and ka'anna from akhawatu inna, and we also covered the numbers from 11 to 20 with the masculine ma'adud, and later on we'll see 11 through 20 with the feminine ma'adud. The rules concerning this, there are four matters that we want to look at, the numbers from 11 to 20. Okay, so the first thing that we want to look at, we want to mention that these numbers are yani mabniyun. They are mabniyun on fatah. So the ending is always be fatah, except the first part of the number 12, ithna and ithnata. If they are majrur or mansub, they become ithnay and ithnatay. Other than that, these numbers are mabniyun, both parts of the numbers, except the first part of the number 12. So they are mabniyun, they always end with fatah. It doesn't matter if they in the position where they should be marfu'un or majrurun or mansubun, they're always going to be fixed on fatah. The second thing we want to say about these numbers is that the ma'adud, the thing being counted by from them, is always going to be mufrad mansub. It's going to be singular and it's going to be mansub. So you say 11 students, ahada ashra taliban. The ma'adud is always going to be singular, even though you're saying 11 students, but in Arabic it's going to be singular and it's going to be mansub. The other thing we want to say about these numbers is that for the number 11 and 12, both parts of the number are going to be in agreement with the ma'adud in gender. If the ma'adud taliban is masculine, both parts of the number, ahada and ashra, are going to be masculine. Same thing for 12. If the ma'adud is masculine, both parts of the number are going to be masculine. Ithna ashra taliban. And the opposite, if it was feminine, both parts of the number are going to be feminine. That's for the numbers 11 and 12. For the numbers 13 to 19, there are two parts. The first part is going to be opposite the ma'adud in gender, and the second part is going to be in agreement with it. Okay, so this is the main things that we covered in lesson 3. Yani primarily, af'alu at-tafdil, the comparative and superlative degree of the adjective, and then the numbers from 11 to 20. In lesson 4, basically we are introduced to the past tense verb. And we're going to be seeing today in lesson 10, introduction to the present tense verb. Okay, so the verbs in Arabic come either past tense, present tense, or command form. The fi'l madi, fi'l mudari, and the fi'l amr. So in lesson 4, we were introduced to the past tense. In lesson 10, we're going to be introduced to the present tense, and in 14, to the fi'l amr, the command form of the imperative. Alright, so in lesson 4, we introduced to the past tense, al fi'l madi, and we said that most Arabic verbs have only three letters, or three radicals, yani three root letters, like ذهبَ, كتبَ, جلسَ, أكلَ, شربَ, and so on like this. Okay, and we basically looked at the conjugation of the past tense verb, most of its forms. Yani the third person forms, masculine and feminine singular, like ذهبَ and ذهبَت, هو ذهبَ and هي ذهبَت, and the third person plural forms, masculine and feminine. Hum ذهبوا and هن ذهبنا. So we looked at those four third person forms, masculine and feminine, singular and plural third person forms of the past tense verb. We also looked at the second person masculine singular, أنت ذهبت جلست أكلت, and we also looked at the first person singular, which is used for masculine and feminine, أنا ذهبت أنا جلست أنا كتبت and so on. So we looked at six of the pronouns, that how they are attached to the past tense form of the verb. And in the future lessons we looked at, yani in lesson 7 we looked at the second person masculine plural, ذهبتم, and the second person feminine plural, ذهبتن. And in lesson 8 we saw the last thing, that is, yani the second person feminine singular, أنت ذهبت. So in lesson 6 and 7 we looked at the remainder of the conjugation of the past tense verb. This is primarily what we looked at in lesson number 4. We also looked at how the negation of the past tense verb is with the particle ma. And we'll see later on today, as we look at, as we preview lesson 10, that the present tense mudari form is negated by la. And we also looked at the question, answering a negative question with bala, the difference between bala and na'am, and li'anna. That's what we saw in lesson 4, primarily introduction to the past tense verb. In lesson 5, we saw the other essential elements that are necessary for you, for a verbal sentence, that is the fa'il and the maf'ulun bi. So a past tense verb, as well as a present tense verb, will always have a fa'il and sometimes also a maf'ulun bi. So in lesson 5, we looked at the fa'il, which is the subject or the doer of the action of the verb. The subject or the doer of the action. The example they gave us, ذهَبَ بِلَالٌ. ذهَبَ is the action, the fi'il. بِلَالٌ is the fa'il, the doer of the action. Or, as they call, the subject, the doer of the action. ذهَبَ بِلَالٌ. بِلَالٌ is the one who went. Okay, so what we learned about the fa'il in lesson 5 is that the fa'il is always marfu'un, yani in the nominative case. And we also learned, as in this case, ذهب بلالٌ. And then we also learned that the fa'il can sometimes be a pronoun that's attached to the verb, as in ذهبوا. The wow in ذهبوا is the pronoun that represents hum, yani third person masculine plural. So we saw that the fa'il can be a pronoun, yani attached at the end of the past tense verb. And we saw that in what we saw in lesson 4, when we had ذهبوا and ذهبنا, نون and نسوة, and so on. We also looked at, in this lesson 5, the maf'ulun bi, the object of the verb, yani the thing that the action of the verb occurs to. So there's the action, the verb, the fi'il, and then there's the doer of the action, the subject, the fa'il, which is marfu'un, and then there's the object of the action. In some cases, not for every verb, not every verb has an object, but if the verb is yani transitive, its action affects something else, that will be the object of the verb, or the maf'ulun bihi. And the maf'ulun bihi, its i'rab is that its case is always mansub, in the accusative case, mansub. Okay, so the maf'ulun bihi, unlike the fa'il is always marfu'un with dhamma, and the maf'ulun bihi is mansub with fatha. Those are the primary signs. They're also secondary signs for certain types of words. We also said the maf'ulun bihi can be a pronoun as well. Yani the maf'ulun bihi can be in a pronoun, as in the example he gave us, ra'aytu bilalan, I saw Bilal, wa sa'altu hu. Hu here is the object of the verb sa'altu, I asked him. I saw Bilal and I asked him. So in sa'altu hu, tu is the subject, doer of the action, the one who asked, I, and hu is the object of the action, the one who was asked, him, I asked him. So that's primarily the most important thing we saw in lesson 5, and in lesson 6 we saw the completion or further conjugation of the past tense verb with the second person feminine singular anti the habti, and we saw the same numbers that we saw in lesson 3 from 11 to 20 with the feminine ma'adud. And keeping in mind that those numbers are mabniun, fixed on fatha, except the first part of the number 12, and that the numbers 11 and 12, both parts of the number are going to be in agreement with the ma'adud, whereas the numbers from 13 to 19, the first part of the number is opposite the ma'adud in gender, and the second part is in agreement with it. Okay, this lesson contained many grammatical points, 11, but this is the most important of the grammatical points from lesson 6, and this completes a quick, yani quick review of the grammatical points that we studied in the first six lessons, in the first six sessions. Perhaps next week, inshallah, we'll look at a quick review of lessons 7, 8, 9, and the lesson that we're previewing today, lesson 10. Okay, so right now what we're going to do, we're going to take a look at a preview of lesson 10. What is the point here of this particular course, and previewing Medina Book 2, the first half of Medina Book 2? The point is to become acquainted, to become familiar with, and to have some time to digest the many grammatical points that we will find in Medina Book 2, and as well have a chance to memorize some of the vocabulary, as much of it as possible, before we enter into the complete study of Medina Book 2. What we want to do, we want to give everybody a chance to have yani heads up on Medina Book 2, because Medina Book 2, unlike Medina Book 1, contains many more grammatical points in every lesson. It contains many more points in every lesson, so sometimes it may become overwhelming for somebody going transitioning from Book 1 to Book 2. They find Book 2 become overwhelming. So what we're trying to do here is just become familiar with as much of the grammar as we can, and as much of the vocabulary as we can, so when we go into the complete full study of Medina Book 2, we will already be familiar with much of the material, even if we don't understand it completely and we didn't memorize it all, but we will at least be familiar with it. We will be acquainted with it. We will have had a chance to preview it, and hopefully, inshallah, that will make it a lot easier. Many times, as I've mentioned previously, I've seen students transitioning from Book 1 to Book 2 find great difficulty because of the increased amount of material that's covered in Book 2 over what was covered in Book 1. Okay, so Book 2, yani, is level 2. It's another level. It's supposed to be more information, more difficult material. And however, yani, sometimes people found difficulty with that, and for that reason, we came up with the idea of doing a preview. This is just a preview. Yani, whatever you missed in this preview, it's okay. We're going to go back in just a few more weeks. We're going to go back and begin the full, complete study of Medina Book 2, and we're going to cover all of this material in a little more detail, and we're going to do all the exercises that come with it, and those exercises help you to comprehend, to understand, and to learn how to apply these rules that we are learning in each one of these lessons. Okay, so let's turn to page 34 of the English Key for lesson number 10. This lesson is a relatively short lesson. It contains 5 points that we're going to look at in the English Key, and then we're going to look at as well the vocabulary. And the vocabulary is somewhat lengthy, 18 words. Okay, so if a person was studying this lesson for the first time and they came across 18 new vocabulary words to learn in 1 week, they might find it a little difficult. And he actually will probably be studying one of these lessons, each one of these lessons, for at least 2. Maybe 3 weeks. So you'll have plenty of time to learn the vocabulary. Nonetheless, there could be some difficulty, especially if you remember that in the previous lesson we learned 10 words, in the previous lesson we learned 15 or 20 words. So it's accumulating, and it sometimes can become overwhelming, and that's the point of previewing the lesson. We start memorizing the vocabulary now. There are 13 or 18 new vocabulary words in this lesson, number 10. 13 of them are nouns and 5 are verbs. So, we're going to be learning new verbs in this lesson as well as new nouns. We're going to look at the vocabulary after we complete the reading of the English Key. And then after that, we're going to go to the Arabic text, which is relatively short. It's just a page and a half. We're going to read it carefully, translate it, try to identify the new vocabulary words and the new points of grammar. And hopefully, even if you find some difficulty reading it now, when we get back to lesson 10 in our full study of Medina Book 2, inshallah, by that time, I hope and I do believe that you'll find it much, much more easier. Much, much more easier when you're looking at it for the second time. So today we're just looking at it, yani, as a preview. We're just looking at it as a preview. We're going to study it in detail later on. Yani, after a few more lessons that we're going to cover from the first half of Medina Book 2, we're going to go back and do our full study bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay, and again, yani, I am very, very concerned about those who are going to be studying Medina Book 2 with us for the first time. I'm very, very concerned that you do well, that you benefit, and that you are able to comprehend what we are covering and complete most of the material without great difficulty. And that's why we're doing this preview. So if you find any difficulty today in the preview, know for sure that this is just a preview. Now you become acquainted, become familiar, you begin to learn some of this material. When you go back and study it for the second time, it has to be, by the permission of Allah, a little bit easier, if not a lot easier. Okay, so let's go into the English key for lesson number 10, page 34. At the top of the page, it says lesson 10. In this lesson, we learn the following. Number one, the present tense of the Arabic verb. Okay, we now have completed the past tense, al-fi'l al-madi. Now we're going to learn the present tense of the Arabic verb. By the way, this present tense discussion is going to be in lesson 10, 11, 12, 13. The next, yani for four lessons, 10, 11, 12, and 13. In lesson 14, we're going to be studying the fi'l amr, the imperative or the command form of the verb. So, for the next few lessons, in lesson 10, 11, 12, and 13, we're going to be studying the present tense verb, the full conjugation of the present tense verb, the components of the present tense verb, the prefixes that are added to it, how we recognize the fa'il that's attached to it, and so on. In the present tense verb, we're going to have the full conjugation, excluding the muthanna, the duals, okay? So we're going to see 10 forms of the past tense verb, the present tense verb, the same way we saw 10 forms of the past tense verb. So we're going to see the singulars, the plurals, the masculine, the feminine, the first person, second person, and third person. So we're looking at a verb from three angles. First person, who's the speaker, second person, who you are speaking to, and third person, who you're speaking about. So those are three things that we want to look at in a verb. Is the verb representing the first person, speaker, the second person, the one being addressed, or the third person being spoken about? Is the person who's doing this action masculine or feminine? Especially for the second and third person forms. For the first person, masculine and feminine forms are the same. Then the last thing we want to see is the speaker, the first person or the second person or the third person, masculine and feminine, is it an individual, singular, or is it a group, plural? Okay, masculine or feminine, that's one thing. Singular or plural, that's another thing. And first person, second person, or third person, those are three angles that we want to look at the verb from. Just as we did with the past tense, we're going to do the same thing now with the present tense. So in this lesson, we learn the following. Number one, and as I mentioned, there are 5 points in this English key. The first point is always the most important point, the present tense of the Arabic verb. The Arabic verb has only 3 forms. These are A, the past tense, which we completed already, which is called the Madi, Al-Madi. B, the present future tense. Yani it's used for present tense, something that's happening right now, or future tense, something that will happen in the future. This form, which is called Al-Mudari, is the present future tense, Al-Mudari. And the third form of the Arabic verb is C, the imperative, which is called Al-Amr, the command form. Okay, so there are 3 forms of the Arabic verb. The Al-Madi, past tense, which we completed now. Al-Mudari, the present future tense, which we're going to begin to study in this lesson 10 and follow up in 11, 12, and 13. And then there's the imperative, Al-Amr, which we're going to study in lesson 14. Alright? So they said here, after mentioning the imperative form, we have already learned the Madi. In this lesson, we will learn the Mudari. We will learn the Amr in lesson 14. The first thing we want to say about the fi'l mudari, yani the present future tense verb. Normally we refer to it as the present tense, but it also has the meaning of future tense. The first thing we want to say state about the present tense verb, al-mudari. In the mudari, one of the 4 letters, noon, hamza, ta, or ya, is prefixed to the verb, meaning it's attached to the beginning of the verb. One of these 4 letters. Every fi'l mudari is going to have, like kataba, jalasa, yani those 3 letters are going to have prefix to the beginning of them. One of these, those 3, yani the verb itself is going to have prefix to it, one of these 4 letters. Either a noon, or hamza with fatha, or ta or ya. We have learned that he wrote is kataba. These are the radicals, the three radicals or the root letters, kataba. Now we're going to learn that he writes, he does write, is yaktubu. Yani with the prefix ya attached to the beginning of it. Okay, it can be a ya, a ta, hamza or noon. Note that yaktubu means he writes. It also means he is writing right now. And it means he will write. It also could have the meaning of he will write. So depending on the context, you will understand that it means he writes, he does write. Or he is writing, or he will write. So that's why it's called the yani present future tense, because it represents the present tense, writes, writing, and the future tense, will write. Now, let's see the difference between the forms of al-madi and al-mudari. Yani kataba, yaktubu. Kataba, yaktubu. Both of them have the same three root letters, but the mudari has a prefix, either a ya or ta, or hamza or noon. So what's the difference between the madi and the mudari? We have learned that most Arabic verbs have three letters, or radicals, three root letters. In the madi, the first radical has fatha. Look at kataba. The first radical is always going to have fatha. And in the mudari, the first radical has sukun. Okay, the first radical is not the prefix ya in the mudari. The first radical is the kaf, the first root letter. It's kaf. In the mudari, the first root letter, the first radical after the prefix, is always going to have sukun. So the first difference between madi and mudari is that the past tense form, the first radical always takes fatha. In the mudari, the first radical, yani the kaf here, always takes sukun. Okay, when we say the first radical in the mudari, we're skipping the prefix. Prefix is added to it, right? We're talking about the first original root letter. So that's the first difference. In the past tense, the first radical has fatha always. In the present tense, the first radical has sukun always. Now we're skipping the second radical and going to the final radical. The third radical has fatha in the past tense and dhamma in the present tense. Okay? This is always. The third radical in the past tense always has fatha. And the third radical in the present tense always has dhamma. Yani unless it's affected by something else causing some change. But the original rule is that it's going to have dhamma on the third radical of the mudari. So these two vowels are fixed. In the past tense, first and third radical is always fatha on every verb. The middle radical may change. So you have kataba, you have shariba, you have karuma. So we see that the first and the third radical is always going to be fatha. But the middle radical could be fatha, kasra, or dhamma. In the mudari, the first radical always takes sukun, and the third radical always takes dhamma, but the middle radical is the one that may change. Could be dhamma, as it is here in kataba yaktubu. Could be kasra, as in jalasa yajlisu. Could be kasra, could be fatha, as in dhahaba yadhhabu. Yani, so the middle radical could be a fatha, could be a kasra, could be a dhamma. So what's the difference between the fi'l madi and fi'l mudari? The past tense, first and last radical, is always fatha. The present tense, first and last radical, is always sukun and dhamma. So what varies is the middle radical. In past tense and present tense, the middle radical can be a fatha, can be a kasra, can be a dhamma. That's what's different. The second radical may have any of the three vowels, fatha, kasra, or dhamma, both in the madi as well as in the mudari. Okay, the next point that they said concerning yani verbs is that according to the vowel of the second radical is the one that changes in past tense and in present tense. According to the vowel of the second radical, verbs are classified in six groups. They're classified into six groups because there are six possible variables in terms of the, if you look at the vowel of the middle second radical in past tense and present tense, there are six possible yani variables that you can come up with. So we learned four of them in this lesson, four possible combinations. So the four that we're looking at here is, can either be yani the past tense and present tense second radical vowel, can either be fatha, dhamma, yani meaning It has fatta in the past tense. We're talking about only the second middle radical. What it is its vowel. In the past tense, it could have fatta, and in the present tense, dhamma. Or, as we see, B could have fatta in the past tense and kasra in the present tense. Or it could have fatta, C, in the next page, could have fatta in the past tense and fatta as well in the present tense. Those are three possible combinations. Meaning that the middle radical in the past tense can have fatta, while in the present tense, it could have yani a kasra, or it could have fatta and dhamma, or fatta and fatta. So those are three possible combinations. The fourth possible combination is that the past tense middle radical has kasra instead of fatta, and in the mudari has fatta, kasra, fatta. So these are four possible combinations of the vowels for the middle radical in the past and present tense. And they give us examples for each of them. And then there are two more possible combinations. It could have dhamma in the past tense and dhamma in the present tense, or kasra in the past tense and kasra in the present tense. So those complete the six groups. The other two groups we'll see later on. Okay, so let's go back to page 34 a little bit. Look at the bottom half of the page where it says, where they give us these four possible combinations of the six that we will see in Arabic. According to the vowel of the second radical, remember these vowel combinations, A, U, A, I, A, I, A, these vowel combinations mean the vowel for the middle radical, the second radical of the past tense and the second radical of the present tense. Okay? So, according to the vowel of the second radical, verbs are classified into six groups. We learn four of these in this lesson. Four different classifications. The first classification, A, is the AU group. In this group, the second radical has A in the Madi and U in the Mudari. So it's called AU group. Because it has a combination of what? An A and a U. A in the past tense, U in the present tense, meaning the second radical. So examples of that is Kataba, he wrote, Yaktubu, he writes. Notice that in the past tense, second radical has fatta. In the present tense, second radical, the ta, has dhamma. That's why it's called fatta dhamma, or AU group. Another example from this AU group is qatala, he killed. Yaktulu, he kills. Qatala, yaktulu. Notice in the past tense, the second radical, ta, has fatta in the past tense, and dhamma in the present tense. That's why it's called fatta dhamma group, or AU group. Another example from this AU group, fatta dhamma group, is sajada, he performed sajda, prostration. Yasjudu, he performs sajda, prostration. And again, we notice that this is from the AU group, therefore it means that what? That in the past tense, the second radical has fatta, in the present tense it has dhamma. So all of these are from the AU group, because why? They have fatta in the past tense, dhamma in the present tense, second radical. Kataba yaktubu. Qatala yaktulu. Sajada yasjudu. The second group or classification of verbs, according to the second radical of the past and present tense of that verb, is the AI group. AI group means it has A on the second radical in the past tense, I on the second radical in the present tense. AI group. In this group, the second radical has A, fatha, in the Madi, and I, kasra, in the Mudari. For example, Jalasa Yajlisu. Jalasa Yajlisu. He sits. He sat. Yajlisu, he sits. Yani in the past tense, middle second radical has fatha, and in the present tense, middle radical, the lam, has kasra. That's why it's fatha, kasra, or AI group. Another example from the AI group is Daraba Yadribu. Daraba, he beat. Past tense, yadribu, he beats, or he is beating, or he will beat. Yadribu, fatha, kasra. Another example of fatha, kasra, ghasala, yaghsilu. Ghasala, he washed. Past tense, madi. Yaghsilu, he washes, or is washing, or will wash. Fatha, kasra. These are all examples of AI, or fatha, kasra group. The third classification, or the third group, is the AA group. Okay, we saw there being a fatha in the past tense with a dhamma in the present tense, AU group, and then we saw a fatha in the past tense with kasra in the mudari, AI group, and now we see fatha in the past tense with fatha in the present tense. Yani fatha in past and present in both forms. Fatha, fatha. That's why it's called A group. In this group, the second radical has A in the maadi as well as A in the mudari. Examples. Dhahaba yadhhabu. The ha in the past tense, second radical, has fatha, and in the present tense it has fatha. Dhahaba, he went. Past tense. Yadhhabu, he goes. He is going, he will go. Another example of A group. Fatha in the past tense, fatha in the present tense. Fataha, he opened. Yaftahu, he opens. His opening will open. Another example, qara'a, he read. Yaqra'u, he reads. He is reading, he will read. Qara'a, yaqra'u. Fatha in the past tense, fatha in the present tense. And the fourth group that we're going to look at in this lesson, out of the six, is the IA group. In the first three groups, we saw A as the middle radical in all yani of the past tense forms. And then in the first three groups, we saw A, yani fatha, in all the past tense forms. But in the present tense forms, it either had another A or I or U. Now we're going to see the past tense not having A, rather having kasra. So there are two groups. We're only going to see one of them now. Two groups in which the past tense form may have kasra. It could be this group, kasra with fatha in the mudari, or it could be kasra in the past tense and kasra in the present tense. That's a fifth group that we're going to see later on. And a sixth group is that you have dhamma in the past tense and dhamma in the present tense. We'll also see that group in the future. So the fourth group that we're going to see in this lesson is the IA group, that is kasra fatha group. In this group, the second radical has I, kasra in the maadi, and A, fatha in the mudari. For example, fahima. The second radical ha has kasra. Yafhamu, the second radical, the ha, has fatha. So in the past tense, it has kasra. In the present tense, it has fatha. That's why it's called yani kasra fatha group, or IA group. Fahima yafhamu. The middle radical has kasra in the past tense, fatha in the present tense. Fahima, he understood. Yafhamu, he understands. He is understanding, or he will understand, inshallah. Second example, shariba. This is the IA group. Shariba, he drank. Yashrabu, he drinks. He is drinking, he will drink. Shariba, yashrabu. That's IA, or kasra fatha group. The third example, hafiza, he memorized. Yahfazu, he memorizes. Yani, he is memorizing, or he will memorize. I don't normally look at the screen, but I just saw a question. Will the complete classes, the full study of Medina Book 2, be done online as well? Yes, it will be done online as well. I don't normally look at these questions, unfortunately. I'm sorry about that. But I just happened to look up and see that there was a question there that had been there for a long time. So, yes, we will be doing the full study of the Medina Book 2 online, yani probably at this same time of the day, right after yani our Salatul Dhuhr, yani in the East Coast of the United States. Okay, so that completes the four groups that we're going to study in this lesson. Yani the A-U group, like Kataba Yaktubu, A-I group, Jalasa Yajlisu, A-A group, Dhahaba Yadhhabu, and the I-A group, Fahima Yafhamu. As a rule, I'm reading from the book now, on page 35, middle of the page, after the four groups are presented and examples for each of them, it says, as a rule, and this is what we're going to close with on this point, as a rule, as there is no rule to determine the group of a verb, and is it from AI group or IA group, there is no rule to determine the group of a verb. Since that there is no rule, the student should learn the group of each new verb he learns. Yani when you learn a verb, if you learn shariba, you should learn that shariba is shariba yashrabu, kasra fatha group. Shariba yashrabu, like fahima yafhamu, like hafiza yahfazu. Okay, when you learn a new verb, learn its group so you know what is its past tense form, the voweling, and what is its present tense form. And basically the vowel you're looking for is the second radical. In some dictionaries, when you look up the verb, you get the past tense form. That's what you'll look up. They'll give you, just after the mention of the past tense form, one vowel. That vowel is going to be the vowel that is going to change in the mudari. That could be a fatha, kasra, or dhamma. They're going to tell you in the mudari, second radical, it's going to be fatha, or it's going to be kasra, or it's going to be dhamma. And they might not give you the full form of the mudari verb, because you already know the first radical is always going to be sukoon, and the last radical is always going to be dhamma. The only one that you won't know is going to be the second radical. So they're going to tell you what that vowel is. Okay, so as there's no rule to determine the group of a verb, the student should learn the group of each new verb he learns, yani when you learn them. All good dictionaries mention this, yani meaning what will be the present tense form, yani the middle second radical vowel. Otherwise, you know the voweling of the rest of the verb. You have the verb in the past tense, so you know what it's going to be in the present tense, except the second radical, they'll usually tell you that. While expressing a verb, usually both the maadi and the mudari are mentioned together. If you ask the Arabic for to write, you say, kataba yaktubu. You usually give the past tense with the present tense. In the dictionary, normally they'll give you the past tense, the present tense, or at least the vowel of the present tense, and they'll also give you the infinitive, the masdar. Now, okay, so this is the end of what we wanted to say in reference to, introduction to, the present tense form of the verb. The most important thing you need to remember here is that the present tense form, unlike the past tense form, the present tense form has a prefix that's added to it. The letters Noon, Hamza, Ta, or Ya. The past tense has something added as a suffix to the end of it. You say katabtu, katabta, katabti. In the present tense, they have a prefix added to it. Alright, so that's the first thing you need to know, that these four letters are added to all the mudari forms. The second thing you need to know is that in the mudari, just like in the past tense, the first and third radical are fixed. Fatta, fatta. In the present tense, the first and third radicals are also fixed. The first radical in the present tense is always sukoon after the prefix, and the last radical is going to be dhamma, until something acts upon that verb to change it, yani to a fatha or to a sukoon or whatever. And then the other thing you need to know is that verbs are classified in Arabic based on the variable, yani the middle second radical vowel that varies in the past tense and the present tense. This will determine the classification of a verb. Is it AU group, AI group, AA group, IA group, II group, or UU group? Okay, that's the end of what we wanted to say about the present tense verb. Okay, in the next lessons, yani, we're going to be studying more things about the present tense verb, yani the conjugation of the present tense verb. What are the forms of the conjugation? And we're going to look at where's the fa'il in that, in each form of the verb, and if the fa'il is yani something that you can see in it, like waw al-jama'a, noon and niswa, or is it a damir mustatir? We saw the damir mustatir in the past tense for huwa and hiya. Yani, huwa kataba, hiya katabat. We see that there was no suffix added as the fa'il, but the fa'il is the damir mustatir in huwa and hiya, kataba and katabat. So we're going to see in the present tense verb, there's also the mir mustatir in 5 of the 10 forms of the verb. We're going to look at that as we go through the next few lessons. How we conjugate the present tense verb, how we identify the fa'il in the present tense verb, and what is the meaning of these four letters, any of the letters that are prefixed to it. We're going to look at that as well. And we're going to learn that, generally speaking, when you see yani a ya prefixed, it means it's a third person form. Third person, masculine, feminine, singular or plural. If you see ta prefixed to it, it's a second person form. Masculine, feminine, singular or plural. But there's an exception to this for the third person, feminine, singular here. Yani, instead of taking ya, it takes ta. But generally speaking, ya indicates third person forms, ta indicates second person forms, and Hamza indicates the first person, singular, noon indicates the first person, plural. So we're going to look at all of that in the future lessons. Let's go on to the remaining secondary points for this lesson number 10. So point number 2 on page 35, we're introduced to the numbers from 21 to 30. And previously we had in book 1 the numbers from 1 to 10, and we have been looking at in our introduction to the numbers of 11 to 20 in lesson 3, and then I think in lesson 5 or 6. We were introduced to those. Okay, the numbers from 11 to 20. Now we're looking at the numbers from 21 to 30. Okay, each set of numbers has some different rules. Some of the rules are similar. Some of them are partially applicable and so on. But we have to learn the rules for numbers piece by piece. Okay, so here what we have is what is known in Arabic as al-adad. Al-ma'atuf. This word is not written here in the lesson, but we'll learn the Arabic expression later on. Al-adad, the number. Al-ma'atuf, that is, joined. There are two numbers that are joined together by waw al-atif. Al-ma'atuf means they're joined by waw al-atif. So there are two numbers, the numbers from 21 to 30, or 21 to 29, they're going to be two numbers. And they're going to be separated by waw al-atif, or they're going to be joined together by waw al-atif. Okay, so that's why they're called al-adad al-ma'atuf, because they are joined together by waw al-atif. Ma'atuf means connected together by a conjunction. All right, so let's see what it says here, page 35, halfway down the page, number 2. This is the second point from lesson number 10, numbers from 21 to 30. The two parts of the numbers are joined by waw, the particle, the conjunction waw, waw with fatha, which means end, A-N-D. The two parts of the numbers from 21 to 29. 30 is just a single number, thalathun, but the numbers from 21 to 29, and the same thing will be for 31 to 39 and 41 to 49 and so on. Okay, the two parts of the number, 20 and 1. The two parts of the number are joined by waw. For example, wahidun wa ishruna taliban. Wahidun, that's one number, and ishruna is another number. These two numbers, the two parts of this number, are joined together by waw al-atif. The waw, that is a conjunction, joins two things together, this and that. So literally it means 1 and 20 students. Wahidun wa ishruna taliban. 1 and 20 students. Or in English we say 21 students. But actually 21 students means 20 and 1. So in Arabic they actually say 1 and 20 students. Note that, in addition to the first point that I mentioned, that these two numbers are joined together by waw al-atif, they're going to also point out three more important matters, which they list as A, B, and C. So there are four things. There's that the fact that these two numbers are going to be joined together by waw al-atif, and then there's what follows as A, B, and C. A says the first part of these numbers has tanween. The ones part, 21, 22, 23, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, those ones, the units, 1 through 9, are going to have tanween. Okay, unlike when we saw the numbers from 3 to 10. We saw that the number 3, for example, three students, thalathatu tulabin, we saw that the number thalathatu doesn't have tanween because it's in idhafa. So we saw in previous numbers that the first part of the number didn't have tanween. In the numbers from 11 to 19, we said they are mabniun on fatha. So they also don't have tanween. But now we're seeing these numbers from 21 to 30, the first part of the number, the units part, 1 through 9, is going to have tanween. And then it says the first part of these numbers has tanween. Okay? For example, wahidun wa ishruna, 1 and 20, 21. Thalathatun wa ishruna, 3 and 20 or 23. Arba'atun wa ishruna, 4 and 20 or 24. Up to tis'atun wa ishruna, 9 and 20, which means 29. Notice that they skipped the number 22. They had 21, 23, 24, right? They skipped the number 22, and that's because the word ithnan in ithnan wa ishruna, of course, has no tanween. And if the unit's number is usually going to have tanwin, except the number 2, because number 2 is on the form of a muthanna word, like baytan, kitaban. This muthanna form doesn't have tanwin. Okay, so ithnan is on that form, so yani it's feminine and it's masculine form. Ithnan and ithnatan, they don't take tanwin. Okay, otherwise, the units part of these numbers from 21 to 29, the units part is going to take tanwin except the number 2. That's the A. Okay, B says, wahidun wa ithnan are masculine with the masculine ma'dud. Wahid and ithnan are masculine with the masculine ma'dud. That means the first part of the number, the units, 1 and 2, when you have the number 21 and 22, 1 and 2, those numbers are going to be masculine with a masculine ma'dud, feminine with a feminine ma'dud. This is the same as the numbers 1 and 2. Yani the numbers 1 and 2, you say kitabun wahidun, shajaratun, yani wahidatun. Yani the number 1 and the number 2 in the numbers 1 and 2 are the same as the ma'dud. And the same thing for the numbers 11 and 12. The first part of the number is going to be masculine with a masculine ma'dud and feminine with a feminine ma'dud. So the same rule for 1 and 2, same rule for 11 and 12, same rule for 21 and 22. The first part of the number 1 and 2 are going to be masculine with a masculine ma'dud, feminine with a feminine ma'dud. But the numbers from 3 to 9 are going to be feminine with a masculine ma'dud. Okay, the same thing as the numbers when we studied from 1 through 10, we said 1 and 2 are going to come as a not after the number. They're going to be the same as the ma'dud in gender. 3 to 9 are going to be opposite in gender of the ma'dud. The adad and the ma'dud are opposite in gender from 3 to 9. And the same thing from 13 to 19. The first part of the number is opposite the ma'dud in gender. And the same thing we see here, 23 to 29. The numbers from 3 to 9 are always going to be opposite in gender. Whether you're talking about 3 to 10 or whether you're talking about 13 to 19, or whether you're talking about 23 to 29, the unit number 3 to 9 is always going to be opposite the ma'adud in gender. So 21 and 22, the unit number 1 and 2 are going to be the same gender as the ma'adud. So you say, wahidun wa ishruna rajulan. Wahid is masculine because rajulan is masculine. Ithnan wa ishruna rajulan. Ithnan is masculine because rajulan is masculine. But if instead of rajulan, yani we had imra'a, then we would say ihda wa ishruna imra'a, imra'atan. Or ithna tan wa ishruna imra'atan. Yani instead of wahid and ithnan, we will have ihda and ithnatan. Ithnan, masculine, ithnatan, feminine. Okay, so what's the point here? B. Wahid and Ithnan are masculine with masculine ma'adud. They are the same gender as the ma'adud. But from 3 to 9, yani 23 to 29, the units number 3, 23, 24, the units number 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 are opposite the ma'adud in gender. As far as the number 20, it doesn't change. It doesn't matter what the ma'adud is, masculine or feminine, it doesn't change. So we're only concerned about the units number. 1 and 2 are the same gender as the ma'adud. 3 to 9 are opposite in gender. So they gave us examples here of the masculine ma'adud for 23 to 29, or they gave us 21 to 29. Yani notice that 1, 21 and 22, the wahidun and ithnan are masculine because yani the ma'adud is masculine. If the ma'adud is feminine, then we'll say ihda and ithnatan. The rest of them from 3, 23 to 29, we see that the units number 3 is feminine with the rajulan. Yani, and the opposite would be true. If it was imra'atan, then the number would be masculine. Masculine with feminine, feminine with masculine. Okay, so then they gave us these examples here. That's the second point. 1 and 2 are the same in gender as the ma'adud. 3 to 9 are opposite in gender. The last point that we want to say concerning the numbers from 21 to 30 or 21 to 29 is that C, the ma'adud is singular and mansub. The ma'adud, the thing being counted, is going to be singular, mufrad, and it's going to be yani in the accusative case, mansub, singular and mansub. All right, so they didn't give us any examples for this here. They didn't give us any examples, no. But in any case, the point is that, I mean, the examples already preceded. I mean, when we saw 21 and 22, we see there that, you know, the ma'dud is singular and mansub. Wahidun wa ishruna rajulan. Rajulan is singular. It's not rijal, plural, it's singular. Rajulan, and it's mansub with fatah. So all these examples are examples that we can apply to. Point number C, that the ma'dud rajulan, in every case, is going to be singular and it's going to be mansub. Okay, also I want to say that the numbers from 3 to 10, the ma'dud, if you remember, the ma'dud is going to be mudhaf and it's going to be plural. It's going to be mudhaf ilayhi majrur and plural. The numbers from 3 to 10, we learned that in book 1. That's why you have to go back and review, right? The numbers from 11 to 19, we said that the ma'dud is singular mansub, and that's what we're saying here, the same thing. That 21 to 29, they're also singular and mansub. The ma'dud is singular and mansub. Rather, from 11 to 99, the ma'dud for all the numbers, from 11 to 99, the ma'dud is going to be singular and, yani, in the accusative case. So the only difference where the ma'dud is going to be other than that is for the numbers from 1 to 10 and with the numbers 101,000. Alright, that's point 2. The numbers from 21 to 30. Again, these two numbers are going to be joined by waw al-atif. Also, the first part of the number is going to have tanween, except the number 2. Also, 1 and 2 are going to be the same gender as the ma'adud, and 3 to 9 is going to be opposite in gender, and the ma'adud is going to be singular and in the accusative case. Mufrad mansub. Okay, there are just 3 more points remaining from this lesson number 10 that we want to look at. In the remaining time, on page 36, we have point number 3, At-tasi'atu illa ruba'an. At-tasi'atu means the ninth. We learned those numbers when we were learning the numbers in book 1. Yani ad-dars al-awwal, ad-dars al-thani, ad-dars al-thalith, al-rabi, al-khamis. We were supposed to be learning the numbers when we studied book 1. Alright? So, at-tasi'ah is the feminine of at-tasi'u. At-tasi'atu, feminine form. You're just adding ta marbuta, and remember that ta marbuta, the letter before ta marbuta is always going to be fatha. So the last letter of a word, when you add ta marbuta to that word, the last letter always takes fatha before the ta marbuta. So at-tasi'u became at-tasi'atu, feminine form of at-tasi'a, the ninth. So what we mean here by at-tasi'atu, yani as-sa'a at-tasi'atu, yani the ninth hour, illa ruba'an. What does that mean? It means literally the ninth hour except a quarter of an hour. What's a quarter of an hour? 15 minutes. So they say a quarter to nine. Or they could say, yani, 8:45. You could also express it as 8:45. But with illa, you're going to say nine except a rub. Or nine except a thuluth. A third, yani 20 minutes. Or nine except a half, 30 minutes, or whatever, okay? So what is the point here is that the word illa literally means except. Yani 9 o'clock except 15 minutes. Yani it's 9 o'clock except 15 minutes. Yani almost 9 o'clock except 15 minutes. Note that the noun after illa is mansub. Note also the following. Okay, so what they are saying here is that when you want to say it's 9 o'clock except 15 minutes, or 9 o'clock except 20 minutes, or 9 o'clock except 30 minutes, after illa, except the word following it, ruba, or thuluth, or nis, is going to be mansub. Ruba'an, thuluthan, nisfan. The word, yani a quarter, or a half, or a third, yani that comes after illa, is always going to be mansub. Note also the following. As-sa'atu al-wahidatu illa 'ashra daqa'iqa. Literally, as-sa'a al-wahida, yani the hour, the one, yani the first hour, yani 1 o'clock, except 'ashra daqa'iqa, except 10 minutes. 1 o'clock except 10 minutes means what? Yani 10 minutes to one, or 12:50. So you could also say 12:50. It's easier to say. As-sa'atu al-wahidatu illa 'ashra daqa'iq. So what are we noting here is that the word after illa is mansub, ashra. except 10 minutes. And also remember that the ma'adud from 3 to 10 is always going to be yani mudafun ilayhi majrur, and it's going to be plural. It's going to be majrur and it's going to be plural. Here the daqa'iq is majrur, but we don't see kasr because the daqa'iq and is on the pattern of mafa'il. It's a broken plural pattern that we learned in book 1. This type of broken plural pattern, mafa'il, is mamnu min sarf. So when it's majrur, it takes fatha instead of kasra. Okay, so that's why it's ashra daqa'iqa. Yani ashra is mansub because of illa, and daqa'iqa is majrur. But the sign that it's majrur is fatha because it is a diptote, mamnu min sarf. The second example he gave us, as-sa'atu al-thaniyatu. As-sa'atu al-thaniyatu. Meaning, as-sa'a thaniya means the second hour, yani or 2 o'clock. Illa, except khamsa daqa'iqa, except 5 minutes. So it's 2 o'clock, except there still remains 5 minutes. So that means 5 minutes to two. As-sa'atu al-thaniyatu illa khamsa daqa'iqa. Again, khamsa is mansub in this yani formula. After the word, after illa, is going to be mansub. And the daqa'iqa is mudaf ilayhi majrur. The sign that it's majrur is fatha instead of kasr because it's mamnu min al-sarf. The third example they gave us, as-sa'atu al-khamisatu. Al-khamisatu, the fifth hour. Illa, except daqiqatan wahidatan, except 1 minute. 5 o'clock, except 1 minute means 1 minute to five. Naam. What we want to note here again is the word after illa is mansub with fatha, daqiqatan. And since yani we're saying 1 minute, then remember the rules for number 1 and 2 is that the number comes after the ma'dud as a na'at, so it has to agree with it in everything. Daqiqa is feminine, so wahida is feminine. Daqiqatan is mansub, so wahida is mansub. Daqiqatan is indefinite with tanween, so wahidatan is indefinite with tanween, and so on like this. Okay. Okay. So the point here, point number three, is that what in telling the time, if you're using illa, if you're saying 10 minutes to one, 5 minutes to one, 1 minute to five, if you're saying yani 5 minutes to, then in Arabic you say illa khamsa daqa'iq, 10 minutes to something illa. Yani ashra daqa'iq, and so on like this. Tayyib, number four. Very, very brief point. We have learned the two meanings of la'alla in lesson one. Okay, la'alla is from akhawatu inna, remember? We said that la'alla has two meanings, hope and fear. Alright? La'alla is from akhawatu inna. That means that, yani it's used with a nominal sentence, a jumla ismiya, mubtada and khabar, subject and predicate. The mubtada becomes ismu la'alla mansub, and the khabar becomes khabru la'alla marfu'un. That's the rule that we learned in, that we were introduced to when we were previewing lesson 1, and we studied inna wa akhawatuha. So la'alla is from amongst the sisters of inna. So we said that we have learned the two meanings of la'alla in lesson 1. These are A, I hope, and B, I am afraid. And it has two meanings, to hope or to fear. I hope or I am afraid. The first, in Arabic, I hope, is called at-taraji. At-taraji. And the second, I am afraid or I fear, in Arabic is called al-ishfaq. Al-ishfaq. So we learn these two meanings, that la'alla has two meanings. It either means to hope or to fear something. Now we are learning that these two meanings in Arabic are known in Arabic as at-taraji, I hope, to have hope, or end al-ishfaqu, yani to fear. In the sentence, la'allahu yaraji'u al-yawma mutaakhiran. This is the example they gave us here. In this sentence, la'allahu yaraji'u al-yawma mutaakhiran. It is, the meaning here of la'alla is ishfaq, as it means, I am afraid, I fear that he will come back today late. That he will yarji al yawma today mutaakhiran. I fear he's going to come back late today. Okay, so from the context of the sentence, and if somebody's waiting for somebody and they're saying, what happened to them? Why are they so late? It's past the hour. What's going on? Somebody says, la'allahu yarji'u al-yawma muta'akhiran. The meaning here would not be, somebody's waiting for somebody, you say that, la'allahu yarji'u muta'akhiran. The meaning would not be, I hope that he's going to come back late. Somebody's waiting for somebody, you don't say, I hope he's going to be late. You say, I fear that he's going to be late. So from the context, you know that la'alla means at-taraji, hope, or al-ishfaq, fear. From the context, you will know what it means. That's point number four, yani the two meanings of la'alla that we learned in lesson one, hope and fear, taraji and ishfaq. They're just giving us the Arabic terms for the two possible meanings of la'alla. And also in this sentence, in the example they gave us, is mutaakhiran, is one of the vocabulary words yani for this lesson. Yani mutaakhiran, yani late, as opposed to mubakkiran, early. The last point of this lesson is baina. Baina means between. The noun following it is majroor, because it is mudaf ilayhi. For example, jalasa hamidun baina bilalin wa faisalin. Jalasa hamidun. Hamid sat baina, between bilalin wa faisalin. Between Bilal and Faisal. Before we read the last line, I just want to stop here and say that baina is a dharf. And we learned before some other adverbs like amama and khalfa. And we said that the noun following these adverbs are going to be mudawf ilayhi majroor. So the same thing here, baina is a dharf. And it means between. And the word following it is going to be mudawf ilayhi majroor. That's why we have jalasa hamidun. Jalasa is the verb. Hamidun is the fa'il, the subject do of the action. And the fa'il is always marfoon, as we learned in lesson 5, or that we were previewed in lesson 5. And baina is a dharf. So Bilal is mudawf ilayhi majroor. Wow, the conjunction wow is yani connecting faisalin to bilalin. So as bilalin is majroor, faisalin also has to be majroor. Yani the word following a conjunction takes on the same i'rab of the word that is connected to. Baina bilalin majroor wa faisalin majroor. The last point that they said concerning this point number 5, baina should be repeated with pronouns. Yani if you're using baina with pronouns instead of clear nouns, like in this example they gave us clear nouns, baina bilal, that's not a pronoun, that's a clear noun. Wa faisal, that's a clear noun. But if you're using baina with pronouns, hadha baini, for example, hadha baini wa bainaka, this is between me and between you. This is between you and me. Literally, this is between me and between you, between me and you, or you and me. When you're using baina with pronouns, the word baina should be repeated. Notice in the first example, jalasa hamidun baina bilalin wa faisalin. Baina is only mentioned once. But with pronouns, you say, baini wa bainaka, between me and you. This is between me and you. Okay, somebody's telling you something, they say, keep this between me and you. We'll suffice with this. There's more to say about baina, but this is sufficient because all we're doing here is becoming acquainted with the word baina. It means between. Between. Like you're sitting between two people. It could also mean between Fajr and Dhuhr as well. Between dawn and sunrise, or like this. Indicating time as well. But here it's being used as a dharf al-makan. A dharf indicating place. Between Bilal and Faisal. Between me and you. Okay, at this point we want to look at the vocabulary quickly and then the Arabic text. So the vocabulary on the bottom of page 36 from the right column. I'm going to read what's on the bottom of page 36. Three words. Maktabun, office. Amilun, laborer or worker. Tulun, length, the length of something. And then I'm going to read the right column on page 36. دائماً, which means always. أحياناً, which means sometimes. مرة أخرى means once again. Literally another time. And then I'm turning to page 37. Again from the right side. سجد يسجد. AU group means to perform sajda, to perform prostration. فعل يفعل. AA group means to do something. رقب يركب means to ride, from the IA group. يعني meaning I in the past tense, A in the present tense. بين means between. بينهما means between the two of them. هما is dual. On the left column, عرض with عين and ضاد. عرض means the width of something as opposed to طول, which means the length. مسافة means a distance, the distance between here and there. كيلومتر, kilometer. سنتيمتر means centimeter. متر means a meter. And then we have two more verbs. عمل يعمل, IA group means to work. ركع يركع, AA group means to bow in prayer. Okay, those are the vocabulary words. Please try to memorize some of them before we يعني come to the end of this preview and start with our يعني full study of Medina Book 2. Please try to memorize as much as possible the vocabulary. At least one or two words a day. Okay, let's look at in the time that's remaining the Arabic text on page 69 and the first half of page 70. What we're doing here is we're trying to look at any of the new vocabulary words and the grammar that came in this lesson, as well as whatever we may have, whatever we see here from previous lessons that we have previewed. Top of page 69, الدرس العاشر. I hope that you have tried to read it, yani for homework in advance, and you try to identify the new words that's in the vocabulary and identify, highlight, or underline, or circle the new grammatical points so that you start to become familiar with them. And as you review these lessons in preparation for the full study of Medina Book 2, inshallah you'll retain as much as possible and make it a lot easier when we go to the full study of this book. Top of the page, الدرس العاشر, the 10th lesson. ذهب زكريا لزيارة حامد بعد صلاة الفجر. ذهب زكريا, Zakaria went. Li ziyarati Hamidin, to visit Hamid. Ba'da salat al-fajri, after the prayer of the dawn. Walakinnahu ma wajadahu fil bayti. Walakinnahu, but he ma wajadahu, did not find him, fil bayti, in the house. Faqala li ibnihi. Faqala libnihi Musa. So he said to his son Musa, Aina abuka? And Zakaria said, when he went to visit Hamid, he didn't find him, so he asked Hamid's son Musa, Aina abuka? He asked Hamid's son named Musa, he asked Musa, Aina abuka? Where's your father, Hamid? Musa answered, the son answered, Dhahaba ila suqi. He went to the marketplace. Zakaria says, أَيَذْهَبُ إِلَى السُّوكِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ. Does he go to the market every day? Here we want to note, يَذْهَبُ is a fi'l mudari. You see the prefix? Remember we said the prefix is either going to be ya or ta or hamza or noon. Ya usually indicates that it's third person, either masculine or feminine, singular, plural. Here it is, هُوَ يَذْهَبُ, third person, masculine, singular. أَيَذْهَبُ. Remember we said the first radical always takes sukun and the third radical always takes dhamma in the mudari verb. The middle radical could be fatha, kasra, dhamma. In this case it's fatha. Dhahaba, yadhhabu, fatha, fatha group. Ayadhhabu ila suqi kulla yawmin. Does he go to the market every day? Musa, na'am, yes. Yadhhabu da'iman ila suqi ba'da salatil fajri. Yes, he goes da'iman. This is a new vocabulary word. Always. Da'iman means always. As opposed to ahyanan means sometimes. Yadhhabu da'iman. Always. Ila suqi, to the market. Ba'da salat al-fajri, after the prayer of the dawn. And ba'da, we said, is also a dharf. Dharf as zaman, and after the dharf, the word following is always going to be mudafun ilayhi majrur. Ba'da salat al-fajri. Zakariya then asks, mata yarji'u min as-suqi? Mata yarji'u? When will he return from the market? Here again, we want to note, yarji'u is a mudari verb. You see the prefix ya is attached to it. And note, the first radical ra always has sukun. The last radical ayn always has dhamma. The middle radical is the one that may change. And yadhabu was fatha. And yarji'u is kasra. When will he return from the market? Or when does he return? Musa says, yarji'u fi sa'ati as-sabi'ati. He returns at the 7th hour, yani at 7 o'clock. Yani when does he return? He usually returns at 7 o'clock. Wa ahyanan fi as-sa'ati al-thaminati. And sometimes, remember we said da'iman means always, ahyanan means sometimes. Sometimes, yani sometimes he returns in at 8 o'clock. As-sa'ati al-thaminati. Zakariya asks, ماذا يفعل في البيت? What does he do in the house? Yani when he's at home, what does he do? Musa says, يقرأ. And again, يفعل is a فعل مضاري. You see the prefix ya for third person. يفعل, the first radical, fa has sukun, the third radical has dhamma. What does he do in the house? Musa, يقرأ الصحف. يقرأ الصحف. He reads the newspapers. وَيَسْمَعُ الْأَخْبَارَ. And he listens to the news. مِنَ الْعِذَاءَةِ. From the radio or broadcasting station. Zakariya asks, مَتَى يَذْهَبُ إِلَى الْمَصْنَعَ. When does he go to the factory? الْمَصْنَعِ. إِلَى الْمَصْنَعِ. When does he go to the factory? Again, يَذْهَبُ is a mudari verb. It has the prefix ya, the first radical, ذَل has sukun, the last radical, ba has dhamma. When does he go to the factory? Musa, يذهب في الساعة التاسعة والنصف. يعني he goes, again mudari verb, يذهب في الساعة التاسعة, he goes at 9 o'clock, والنصف and a half. يعني 9 o'clock and a half, يعني a half of an hour, means 9:30. Or half past 9, as they say in English. Zakariya says, ومتى يرجع من هناك? And when does he yarji'u? Fi'l mubari. Again, mata yarji'u min hunaka. When does he return from there? Yani from the masna', from the factory. Musa yarji'u fi sa'ati al-wahidati wa nisfi aw al-thaniyati. Yani he returns at what time? As-sa' al-wahida, 1 o'clock, wa nisfi, and a half of an hour, yani 1:30. Or, أو الثانية, أو الساعة الثانية, or at 2 o'clock. He returns at 1:30 or 2 o'clock. Zakariya, أَيَذْهَبُ إِلَى الْمَصْنَعِ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى بَعْدَ الظُّهْرِ. Does he go to the factory another time, again, once again, after الظهر, after صلاة الظهر? Turn to page 70. Musa says, لا, لا يذهب بعد الظهر. No. He does not go after dhuhr. Remember, the mudari verb yadhhabu is normally, the mudari verb is normally negated by la, and the madhi verb is normally negated by ma. So, does he go back? He says, la, la yadhhabu ba'da dhuhr. He doesn't go back after dhuhr. يَجْلِسُ هُنَا فِي مَكْتَبِهِ بَعْدَ صَلَاةُ الْعَصْرِ. He sits, and this is another mudari verb with the prefix ya, yajlisu. Notice that the first radical, jim, has sukun, last radical has dhamma, middle radical is the one that varies. Here it has kasra. Yajlisu huna. He sits here, fi maktabihi, in his office, ba'da salatul asri, after the prayer of late noon, asr. Zakariya, kam amilan ya'malu fi masna'ikum. How many amilan? This is a new word, amilan. How many workers or laborers? Ya'malu, mudari verb with the prefix ya. How many workers? Ya'malu, work, fi masna'ikum, in your factory, masna and kum, yani your factory, you all's factory, plural. Musa, masna'una laysa bikabir. Here's laysa, the khabar is prefixed by b, so it became majroor. If it wasn't for b, it would say laysa kabiran, but because of b, it became laysa bi kabirin. Masna'una laysa bikabirin. Our factory is not big. يَعْمَلُ فِيهِ مِئَةٌ وَخَمْسَةٌ وَإِشْرُونَ عَامِلًا وَمُهَنْدِسَانِ. Working in it, in our factory, are 125, yani 125 workers. وَمُهَنْدِسَانِ, this is a muthanna word, muhandisani, yani two engineers. Again, we want to note here in this lesson, we had the numbers from 21 to 29, and remember we said that the units part of the number takes tanween, khamsatun, and then it is attached to the aqad, yani the tens number here, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, it's attached to it by waw al-atif. That's why it's called al-adad al-ma'atuf, because there's atif here, there's joining of the units to the tens. So we have here, khamsatun wa ishruna amilan, and also we said that the units number from 3 to 9 is going to be opposite the ma'adud. Amilan is masculine, so khamsatun is feminine. Ishrun doesn't matter if the ma'adud is masculine or feminine, remains the same. Zakaria says, final question, as-sa'atul ana ta'at-tasi'atu illa ruba'an wa ma raja'a abuka. And this is not really a question, it's a statement. As-sa'atu al-ana at-tasi'atu illa ruba'an. The hour now is 9 except rub, yani 8:45 or a quarter to 9. Wama raja abuka, and your father has not returned. And remember, he said that he normally returns at what time? Yani he returns at 1:30 or 2 o'clock. No, I think that's from returns from probably from from work. But in any case, he's returning from the souk, yeah, in the morning. He said, so, أسأل أن تاسع إلا ربعا وما رجع أبوك. Yani he goes to the souk and he normally returns at 7 o'clock and sometimes at 8 o'clock, yeah. And now he's saying it's a quarter to 9. وما رجع أبوك. And your father has not returned. Musa says, and this is one of the words from our vocabulary, لعله يرجع اليوم متأخرا. Perhaps, yani, la'alla here may mean hope or fear, but here, yani, the meaning of it is al-ishfaq, fear. Yani, la'allahu yarji'u, I fear that he is returning today, muta'akhiran, late. I fear that he is returning today, late. This is the end of what we wanted to cover in this session, session number 10, lesson number 10. And I hope that inshallah, that we are able to comprehend much of what we covered, at least now having become familiar with the mudari verb. And in the next few sessions, we're going to be dealing with the mudari verb and finally the fi'l amra before we conclude this preview of book 2. Okay, we're going to stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant me and you success in doing those things that are pleasing to Him in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that He recognize, record, and reward all of our good deeds, that He pardon our shortcomings and raise our station with Him, keep us firm until we return to Him in a condition of being pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Okay, we're going to take a brief break and then we're going to come back for the second session, the second class.